Well, the piano playing has been excellent today. It is every Sunday, but there's been some extra pizzazz this morning, so we appreciate that. Jeanette and choir, even though I'm a part of the choir. How many of you love Jesus and like to join the choir? Look there. We're going to have a whole new group. Brother Bill, man, I saw a lot of hands go up. Luke chapter 16. This will be the last message I'm going to have in this series where we've looked at being mad, making a difference in our hearts and our lives. M-A-D, making a difference. And today I want to talk about the destiny of an unrepentant life. And if you will, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 16, verse 19. It's probably a pretty familiar story to many of you if you've been reading out of the New Testament. But it's the most difficult passage that I've ever had to preach from. And it follows along with my theme from what I preached about last Sunday. So hang on to your hats and don't leave until you hear it at all, because it's an important truth. These words are written in red in my Bible, which means that these are words that Jesus spoke to his disciples. And we should always perk up our ears when Jesus speaks. And we need to hear what he has to say to the disciples of his generation and to the disciples of this generation. And we're going to begin reading verse 19. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. Verse 19. Now there was a rich man, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, joyously living in splendor every day. And a poor man named Lazarus was laid at his gate, covered with sores, and longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. Now the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus so that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I am in agony in this flame. But Abraham said, Child, remember that during your life you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus had bad things. But now he is being comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great chasm fixed, so that those who wish to come over from here to you will not be able to, and that none may cross over from there to us. And he said, Then I beg you, Father, that you send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, in order that he may warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment. But Abraham said, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded, even if someone rises from the dead. Let's pray together. Dear God, I pray that you would be with us here this morning as we speak these words of truth from your holy word, words that the Lord Jesus himself gave to us. Help us to understand what he's trying to say to each of us and the warning that is in these words. May we heed them. For it's in the name of Jesus Christ I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk about the destiny of an unrepentant life. The destiny of an unrepentant life. Our repentance, or the lack of it, will determine our eternal destiny. Our repentance, or the lack of it, will determine our eternal destiny. Jesus said, last week we looked at Luke chapter 13, and twice in Luke chapter 13, Jesus says, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. He said it twice in two verses. He said it in verse 3. He said it again in verse 5. And he's expressing to us this need to repent. And repentance is a choice that we make to turn away from sin. We realize that we have sinned, we have fallen short of the glory of God, we're headed in a direction that's away from God, and we make a choice to turn away from sin, but we don't turn away from something to nothing. We turn away from sin, we turn to the Savior. And that will make a difference in our eternal destiny. Repentance is a U-turn. It is a spiritual U-turn that needs to take place. Now, we are in a presidential season, and I hate of an election season, and I hate to even bring it up. But it greatly concerns me when the leading contender for the presidency of the United States says he has no need to ask forgiveness for anything that he's ever done in his life. And I would say to anyone who says they never have a need for forgiveness, you don't know what repentance is. And unless you know repentance, you cannot be sure of your eternal destiny. Because Jesus said, unless you repent, and you have to repent of something, and that repentance is sin. You repent of sin and turn to the Savior. Few things I want to say from this passage this morning. There's much I could say. We could actually write a book on this particular passage. I have taught about this particular passage on Wednesday nights on more than one occasions, and we're able to draw graphs and draw pictures and have a further discussion that we can't have on a Sunday morning service. But I want to share with you some truth that I've learned over the years as I study this passage. The first is this. Hell is a place. Hell is a place. It's not a figment of your imagination or somebody's imagination. It is not a condition of the mind. Hell is a literal place. The Hebrew word for the grave is called Sheol. It means the abode of the dead. And it's obvious from this particular passage that Jesus describes. Just think of a house that's a duplex. You know what a duplex is? It's a house that has two compartments or two apartments, two homes. But they're under the same roof. They have the same outside exterior walls. Think of Sheol in the Hebrew word for the grave as having two compartments. One is the place of the dwelling place of the unrighteous dead. We call it Hades or hell. Gehenna is the Greek word. And the other is the place of comfort. It was the place of Abraham's bosom. Now, in these two places, one is a place of torment. One is, and we'll talk more about that in a moment. The other is a place of comfort. But they are both the grave. And before the resurrection of Jesus Christ, when Old Testament saints died, they went to Abraham's bosom, a place of comfort. They were not in torment. They did not cease to exist. They were in a place of comfort, according to this passage. Lazarus was a poor man, a beggar. He was not comforted in this life. No one cared for him. The dogs cared for more, evidently, the dogs cared more for him than people cared for him. And it seems like life was very unfair to him, but eternity was not unfair to him. He went to a place of comfort. And then there's this rich man. He went to the place of the righteous dead, Lazarus did, Abraham's bosom. But here's the rich man. He had everything he wanted in this life. He had absolutely everything that he would ever desire. He had possessions beyond measure. And the Bible says when he died, he didn't take any of that with him. He left it all behind and went to a place of torment. A place of torment. Hell is a place. I believe that we are created in the image of God, which means that all of us are created as spirit beings. We are created in God's likeness and image according to Genesis chapter 1. When God created the heavens and the earth, He created male and female. He created them both in the image of God. And that meant He created us to live for an eternity someplace. All of us are going to live forever, one place or another. We're going to live forever in hell, or we're going to live forever in heaven. And hell is a real place. A real place. It is a destination that's going to occur for those who have not been repentant in their heart and life, have not turned from their sin and turned to the Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. Hell is a place. If you win the World Series, you often get invited to go where? Disney World, Disneyland. The kids know. I read the other day, you know, who was the quarterback, winning quarterback of the Super Bowl this year? Who was it? What's his name? His name was Peyton Manning, formerly the Indianapolis Colts. I know that guy. You know where he went after the Super Bowl, where he's headed? Disney World, Disneyland, one of those two. He got invited down there. Most of the time when people win the World Series, they get invited to Disneyland. There's a big parade in their honor. They have a great time. They march down Main Street and have a blast. Well, listen, if you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you're going to have a blast walking down the golden streets of heaven. But if you don't know Jesus and you die without Him, heaven, hell is a place, and it is a destination, and it's not a vacation destination, my friends. It is a place you want to avoid. It is a place of sorrow and grief. And that's the second thing I want to say. Hell is a place of torment. Hell is a place, but hell is a place of torment according to what Jesus taught. Notice all five senses are tormented. He said, I am here in these flames. He could feel his sense of feeling. In this place, his sight, he could look over and see Lazarus. And he was tormented by the fact that Lazarus was comforted and he was not. His taste. He said, could you just send Lazarus that would just take his finger and touch it in a cup of water and touch my tongue that may satisfy me for only a second? No, can't do that. Hell is a place. Sight, sound, smell, taste, touch. There's no relief. There's no painkillers. There's no drugs or alcohol to kill the pain. Hell is a place, of everlasting place, of God's judgment. I don't know what's the most intense pain you've ever felt or experienced. But several years ago, I was living in Indianapolis area, we lived in Greenfield, Indiana, and I had a big tree, a big maple tree that had died out in our front yard. And I went out there with my chainsaw and was going to do some sawing on it and try to cut it through. And that thing was so big around, my little chainsaw wouldn't even make a dent in it. But I tried. I cut on it for a little while, and the chainsaw got hot and got hung up in the tree. And I finally was able to get it out, and I pulled it out. And not being very careful, I touched that hot muffler on the chainsaw, just the tip of my fingers, and literally burnt the hide off my fingers. I left my skin on the muffler of the chainsaw. My friends, it was just the two or three fingers there on my right hand. It was the most intense pain. I cried like a baby. I wept. There was nothing I could do to satisfy or to take care of that pain. It hurt and it hurt and it hurt. And I asked God to remove it, and it still hurt. Here's the good news. Those fingers healed and the pain went away. But it was the most intense feeling of pain. I've had some other feelings of pain, but that was probably the most intense feeling of pain I've ever experienced. And here's the thing about hell. Hell is more intense than that, and it never goes away. It never heals. It is a place of eternal torment. A place of eternal torment. Hell is a place we all deserve to go to, but it's also a place that God has given us the opportunity to avoid. And there's a way to avoid it, and that is through having Him as our personal Lord and Savior. Hell is a place of torment, but also it's a place of eternal torment. Jesus describes this place as a place where the worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. Now, use those words because it described the garbage, the dump heap outside the city of Jerusalem in the Valley of Hinnom. It began the place where people would take their dead animals and dispose of them. It would be the place where people would take household garbage and try to burn it. And there was so much garbage coming out of the city of Jerusalem, and they take it out there into the Valley of Hinnom and they would light it. The garbage was always burning. The flies were always buzzing. The maggots were always stirring in dead carcasses. And those are the kinds of the most descriptive things that Jesus could use to describe what hell is like. It is a place of eternal torment. It is a place where the pain never goes away. It hurts. It is a place of eternal judgment. And you need to know that the Bible does not say that after we die we are annihilated, we cease to exist, or we begin to sleep and we're just not aware of our presence. A lot of people think hell is just for bad people like Hitler and Mussolini and Stalin, or those guys that flew into the Twin Towers on 9/11. We think hell is for people like that. The Bible says, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, and they were pretty religious, moral, good people, He said, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said, unless you repent, you will all perish. The wages of sin is death, and we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And that death is not just a physical death, it is a spiritual death. It is an eternal separation from the Heavenly Father. Hell is a place of eternal torment. It is not temporary, it is permanent, it is eternal. In Matthew chapter 25, it tells us that the hell was created for devil and his demons. You read Matthew chapter 25, the latter part of that chapter. It says that even though hell was created for the devil and his demons, it says that those who do not know Jesus will go there. And Jesus will say to one after another, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. Your life was never changed. You never made a difference in this world. I never knew you. Depart from me. Which tells me there are good people, well-meaning people, who think they're going to go to heaven and they're going to die and go to hell because they have never repented and turned to Christ as their Lord and their Savior. Hell is a place of eternal torment. Fourth, hell is a place of eternal separation. We are separated from God and separated from others that we love. There's no company in hell. I hear sometimes people say, well, I'll have a lot of good company when I get to hell. They say it jokingly. Evidently, they really don't believe in hell when they make statements like that. But I've heard people make those comments over the year. Well, I have lots of good company if I go to hell. No, you won't. Hell is an isolated, lonely place. You're not aware of anybody else around you. Part of hell is you're lonely. You're lonely. First church I ever pastored, I was just a senior in college. It was a weekend church. I would go out on the weekends and I would make visits on Saturday and Sunday and preach Sunday morning, Sunday night, head back to school. Do that week after week. There was one man in the community, he had 16 kids. His mom came to our church, a very faithful member of our fellowship. But that man died right before I got there. He died. He had 16 boys. And he had never professed faith in Christ. And I went to many of his boys and talked to them about coming to faith in Christ. And here's what they said. Daddy went to hell and we may as well follow him there. If Jesus wasn't good enough for Daddy, he's not good enough for us. And I wanted to say to all those boys, listen, you won't see your daddy in hell and he won't see you. You're not going to keep him company there. And if your daddy could tell you anything, he would tell you what the rich man wanted to tell his brothers. Please don't come here. If you've ever listened to anything your daddy ever told you, please don't come here. Hell is a place of eternal torment and a place of eternal separation. We will be forever, ever separated from God and forever separated from others in hell. Notice what happened, verse 26. This rich man pleads, "Oh, Father Abraham, send Lazarus over to touch the tip of his finger in water that he may quench my thirst." Remember what said? Jesus said there's a great chasm that separates. Can't be crossed. No bridge can be built. It is a great chasm that cannot be crossed, will not be crossed. And therefore, they eternally separated from others. The fifth truth is this. Hell is a place that can and should be avoided. Hell is a place that can and should be avoided. The rich man wanted his brothers warned. The Word of God, the Bible tells us, Jesus preached more about hell than he did about heaven. He warned us about hell, about the judgment of God. If we simply talk about the love of God, we are only talking about one dimension that we've forgotten about. If you want to see the love of God, look at the cross of Jesus Christ and understand that Jesus had to suffer on the cross because God was not only a loving God, He is a holy God and knew that sin had to be punished. And here's the truth, here's the spiritual reality. If you will not accept the punishment that Jesus took in your behalf for your sins, you have to accept the punishment of your own sins. So Jesus came to this earth so that we would not have to be punished the way that He was punished on the cross. He hung on the cross, and what were the words He cried? My God, why have You forsaken Me? You know why God forsook Him in that moment? It was because He was bearing the sins of the world in His own body on the cross, and the Heavenly Father could not look upon His Holy Son for the first time in all eternity. He turned His back on His Son so that His Son could bear the sacrifice of your sins and my sins so that we would not have to spend an eternity in this place called hell. Jesus Christ came and suffered so that both the holiness of God and the justice of God and the love of God could be demonstrated on that cross. And to think that God can excuse sin, overlook sin, minimizes the price that Jesus paid on the cross. All the time I hear people make comments like that. Well, it doesn't matter what you believe if you're sincere. You wouldn't apply that to anything else. That's sort of like saying it doesn't matter what you drive as long as it has gas and a motor. Well, get out on I-45 in a go-kart. It doesn't matter what kind of doctor I have working on me as long as he's sincere. Well, listen, I don't want a podiatrist doing a heart surgery on me. I don't want a dentist working on my ears. I want to know what their specialty is. It does matter. It doesn't matter how sincere they are. What matters is what are they capable of doing. And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me." He did not say, "I am a way." He said, "I am the way, the only way. Nobody's going to come any other way because God's nature demands it." God's nature demands it. He is a loving God, and that's why He sent His Son to die for you and me so we would not have to be separated from Him forever. But my friends, there is one sin that is unpardonable, unforgivable, and that is the sin of rejecting Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. And if you reject Him as your Lord and your Savior, you will forever spend an eternity in hell because you passed up the only opportunity you ever had to get to heaven. Jesus is not a way. He is the only way. Father Abraham said they will not receive the warning even if they hear it. If they won't hear the word of God, they won't hear the prophets. The most evangelistic people in the universe are those already in hell. Over the years, we've done surveys and talked to people about faith in Jesus Christ. We've knocked on doors. What we've discovered over the years, 95% of the people you talk to don't think they're ever going to go to hell, no matter what they do with Jesus. 95% of people think they're going to go to heaven. In fact, I would say most of you probably feel the same way about your friends and your family who've never trusted Christ, your Lord and Savior. But here's the reality. If they don't know Jesus, it doesn't matter how good they are. It doesn't matter how often they attend church. It doesn't matter what they do, good moral people. You can be a good man and split hell wide open because you don't have to be good to get to heaven. You have to be perfect to get to heaven. And well, none of us are perfect, so we had to have one who took our place, who became our substitute. His name was Jesus, and he took our sinfulness so that we might clothe ourselves with his righteousness. And that was God's plan to save us all. But if we reject his plan to save us all, then you have committed unforgivable sin, and you will spend an eternity forever in a place called hell. Over the years, I've had people make this statement to me: a loving God would never send anyone to hell. A loving God would never send anyone to hell. No, but a holy God would require sacrifice. Let me put it this way. I don't think a loving God does send anybody to hell. But just imagine this. A passenger's on a ship. He falls overboard into a raging sea. And the captain sees he's struggling in the raging sea. He throws him a life preserver, and the passenger keeps pushing it away. He says, I can swim to the boat by myself. I can pull myself into the boat. I don't need any help. But each time he gets close to the boat, a wave comes, pushes him farther and farther away. The captain just keeps throwing him the lifeline. Captain keeps throwing him the life preserver. He says, just grab onto the lifeline. Just hang on to the life preserver and I will pull you in. But the passenger says, I don't need it. I don't want it. I can take care of myself. I will get back to the boat. I will get back in the boat. I don't need your help. When that passenger drowns, do you think he ought to be blaming the captain of the ship who threw him a lifeline? No, sir. Because of his own self-sufficiency, he died because he would not grab the lifeline, the captain of the ship. Listen, the Heavenly Father is the captain of our ship, and he has thrown us a lifeline, and his name is Jesus. And if you refuse that lifeline and you die and go to hell, you do not get to blame the Heavenly Father who tried to pull you to safety. You don't get to do that. You don't get to do that. Jesus said, broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many there are that find that path. He said, indecision will lead you to hell. You don't have to do anything to go to hell. Just do nothing. You have to do something to get to heaven. And that is, you have to trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior. As many as believed him, to them he gives the right. As many as receive him, to them he gives the right to become the children of God. Whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You have to trust Jesus. Repent of your sins, turn to Jesus in faith, commit to him as the Lord of your life. I conclude with this. Jesus is the way to heaven, and repentance is the way to Jesus. Jesus is the way to heaven, and repentance is the way to Jesus. Had a friend invited me over Friday night to Champion Forest, and we went together to hear Tony Dungy speak. How many of you know who Tony Dungy is? Former coach of Indianapolis Colts when they won the Super Bowl under the leadership of Peyton Manning. Tony Dungy is an outstanding Christian guy, has been for many, many years. He said many things that night. But he told his guys before they went in that night to play in the Super Bowl, he said, guys, he said, some of you are going to win the Super Bowl. He said, if you win the Super Bowl, he said, you think about what's going to happen. Some of you are going to go to Disney World or Disneyland. But he said, if we lose the Super Bowl, people won't probably hardly ever remember the name of your team or what you've done or anything else about you. But he said this, guys, do not be defined by whether you win a Super Bowl or lose a Super Bowl. And then he shared with them this verse. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Let me put it another way. What does it profit a man if he wins the Super Bowl but loses his own soul? What does it profit a man if he gets the best paying job he could ever imagine but then loses his own soul? What does it profit to have all the popularity, all the power in the world, to have millions know your name and listen to your songs? What does it profit a man to be a home run leader or an NBA most valuable player, but he loses his own soul? The most important thing in the world is to know Jesus. He showed us a picture that's not been made public for the most part to many people in the media. But after they won their Super Bowl, they played Chicago that year and won the Super Bowl, if I remember right. Emil, you would remember, wouldn't you? He's a Chicago Bear fan. That night, they asked people just to be quiet. And after the Super Bowl was won, there's a picture of the whole team on their knees, thanking God. But also humbling themselves before the Heavenly Father. Now, I'm not here to say everybody on that team knows Jesus. I'm here to say they had a coach that knew Jesus and directed those men to Jesus. And from his perspective, the most important decision and the most important accomplishment they could ever have is not win a Super Bowl or an MVP. It is to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior and live for him. I wish we had more Tony Dungys in professional sports. My friends, we can make a difference in our world. We need to be as evangelistic as this rich man was who was in hell himself. We need to know that without Jesus, people are going to be lost and live forever, eternally separated from the Father. And what does it profit for us to gain the whole world and then see souls lost, or family members lost? What's important to you? What's important to you? What's the most important thing of all? Is it this little speck of time we spend here on this planet, when we've got decades, centuries, millenniums that we're going to live in eternity, either in heaven or in hell, because of what we've done for Jesus or not done with Jesus here in this life? Jesus is the way to heaven, and repentance is the way to Jesus. Have you trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? If you know someone who hasn't, you have, but you know someone who hasn't, maybe you would make their name on that card one that you would begin to pray for and cry out to the Lord in their behalf. Because I believe prayer makes a difference. Begin to pray that God would give you opportunities to share the truth of the gospel with them. Share your own testimony, your own witness of the importance of Jesus in your life. Make a difference in their life. Because my friends, without Jesus, people are headed to hell. Men, women, boys, girls, they may be good kids, but they're not perfect kids. They need Jesus. And if they don't have Jesus, they're going to die and go to hell. That's what Jesus said. Not Pastor Jay. That's what Jesus said. What have you done with Jesus? Are you going to share Him? Are you going to keep Him to yourself? Let's pray together. Lord, we love You. Thank You for the privilege of being in Your house today. Pray that You'd lead us and guide us. If there's one person here who does not know You, I pray that today would be the day they would come to know You. As Christians, I pray we'd be more evangelistic in our fervor, because without You, people are lost and headed to hell. Help us to be committed to Your cause, to Your truth. For it's in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.